It says we've started recording.
You're recording.
Recording now. Anyway, today on the Tim Biscuit podcast, we've got a new guest, and that is, do you want to introduce yourself?
My name is Brett Lloyd. I'm known on Instagram as the Thankful Carnivore.
So the reason why I've got you on, Brett, is because I've been following your story. I also read about your story in Sean Baker's Carnivore book. Okay. I tried the brilliant story. We'll get into that in a bit. I started the carnivore diet for 30 days, so I've just finished it this week. excuse me. So the reason why I stopped doing it is because I like food too much. So I've gone keto. So I've started to juice some tomatoes and a bit of strawberries and that. But like, what I did notice is that I had some KFC the day I've like sort of finished. I am like had some KFC hot wings and some popcorn chicken, and it tasted horrible. It just tasted processed, no taste to it. The hot wings were spicy hot, and that's all it was. The popcorn chicken was just like eating a mulch of like chicken. I also tried a ginger biscuit, Jaffa cake, donut, and a bar of chocolate. None of it has done anything for me whatsoever. It just tastes processed, not very healthy, and just like factory made. It's where the strawberries, blueberries, and blackberries now I'm having, and the meat and eggs just tasted so much nicer and so much natural. So that's one thing I have noticed coming off the carnivore diet. But why I've decided is I am going to stick with just the animal products a lot and just add maybe a few extra greens in with it. So that's what I've found. And I'm also drinking my first cup of tea without honey in. So because unlike you, you just had meat and water, didn't you?
I have only consumed meat and water, animal source products, since basically July 16th, 2018. The first 2 weeks I did eat some eggs, but then they stopped being satisfying. So I haven't had anything but meat and water since.
What about cheese? You didn't have no dairy products or anything like that?
I was never a cheese eater before I started carnivore. I mean, on pizza, you know, maybe melt some American cheese on a hamburger patty once in a while. Yeah. But I just really wasn't a cheese eater. And knowing what I know now, cheese is like anathema because it's got natural carbs in it. And I see people regularly have issues when they start the carnivore diet and they start eating the cheese, and the next thing you know, that's all they're eating is cheese, and they wonder why they're not losing weight, and they feel they don't have any energy, and they feel bad.
No, I mean, I did lose a stone doing this diet in just 30 days, and like I felt better. One thing I did notice is like sort of I came home, it's the end of work, and like I actually felt tired. I like didn't need to like stay up later to like try and get to sleep, and that's one thing I did notice. My bowel movements improved. I was going once a day. Didn't have no acid. I like want burping as like much. I want farting as much. My like sort of stools were great. Actually, I've just done my blood pressure to one day, and it came up as 118 over 71 with a resting heartbeat of 72.
That's so,
and like I have a lot of salt. So, how did you get into the carnivore diet then? What like sort of process did it come to? Was where you came to it, and how did you find out about it?
I started to eat this way because I suffered from chronic mental illness for over 40 years. I suffered from severe depression, anxiety, and insomnia. In 2015, I weighed 289 pounds. My psychiatrist was telling me I should seriously consider electroshock therapy or long-term hospitalization.
Electric shock therapy.
Yeah, I was in bad way. I'd been a compliant patient taking meds for over 20 years, but I only got worse. I never got better.
Right.
And long story short, I learned about low carb after a fashion. And in February 2015, I started doing that. And I walked and started walking short distances because I became aware of how obese I was. And in 3 years, I walked off 94 pounds. And then I started carnivore July 16th of 2018, and I lost 22 more pounds.
Blimey.
And, but more importantly, on the 24th day after I started just eating meat, I lost all my depression symptoms. All of them. And 5 months after that, I lost all the anxiety. And the insomnia has been like in a gradual decline.
Definitely, yeah.
In the right direction. It's non-existent. I sleep 6-7 hours uninterrupted now, and it's glorious.
Seeing your story on like an Instagram, and like I will post your Instagram in the description if that's okay with yourself.
Sure.
It's just awesome the like sort of progress you've made through just eating this meat, because like I was being told by people like say nurses, people like. I still got a message one day it was this week, because I had bacon and cheese for my dinner at some like work, because like I've still kept the dairy, because that's my cheat to get some sweetness in. You see, I like sort of have full fat milk and sometimes raw milk, raw cheese and things like that, because it's just that bit of sweetness. I have noticed I put on a few extra pounds having too much milk, so I cut back on the milk. But people were saying, don't forget, you'll like get all your blood pressure up. Well, it's like not going up. Your poor arteries. You're going to have like bad heart. You'll like get scurvy, which I mean, Sean Baker, yourself, and like other people who've been doing the carnivore diet haven't got any signs of that. One thing the dead mentioned was vitamin C, because due to contemporary belief, there's no vitamin C in meat, but reading up on it and doing a bit more research on it, there is slight amounts of vitamin C. And because you've got no glucose, your body absorbs vitamin C better, which can come from meat. And like also due to research that fresh meat can cure and deter scurvy, because the reason that sailors got scurvy because it was cured meat. So cured meat's different. So it's all research. And I think there's a big push from the medical profession, and it's all to do with money as well, through pharmaceutical people saying you must take statins, you must take this, you must take that. People with thyroid, as you know, have been on this carnivore diet and it's cured it, like sort of Michaela Peterson, Jordan Peterson, and people like that. And you are just a living example of what can be achieved. I mean, you're smashing the gym in. How many times do you go to the gym in a day?
I only go to the gym once. I go to the gym once a day, 3 days a week. But I'm active. When the weather is cooperative, I will walk 15 to 20 miles a week. On top of that, I feel amazing. I have limitless daily energy. There's no peaks and valley either. It's just always in a straight line. And I can be on my feet and work like a dog for 8 hours and not get tired.
That's amazing.
It's a wonderful way to live. Every aspect of my life has been immensely improved by eating this way. I used to have severe eczema, my skin around my elbows, my ankles and heels were so dry and cracked that my heels would sometimes bleed. My ankles would sometimes bleed. It was very uncomfortable. All of that cleared up in like the first month.
First month?
Yeah, first month. 10 days into it, I woke up without joint pain for the first time as an adult. That was glorious.
What did it make you feel like going through the battle with depression and anxiety, because that's like quite rife throughout the world at the minute, and that's due to a lot of things. But how like did you feel with just this switch from going from a normal varied diet that like everyone has to just eating meat and drinking water? And then it's basically like a light switch switching itself off, and like you've reset yourself. How did that feel? Did like you think there was any light at the tunnel when like you was in that dark place, because now you're just doing fantastic?
Well, I'm completely symptom free now. I have no symptoms of any kind whatsoever. It was an extremely profound and beautiful event. I mean, I was an angry, depressed person. I was somebody who was, I had extreme dissatisfaction with my life and everything in it. You know, if I could just get this iPhone 7 Plus, my life would be better. And then, of course, I would get the device and it would work as advertised, but I would find or create things that may or may not have been true to justify why it was a piece of crap. And I now needed the 8, or else this was just, it was ridiculous. It was a constant state of dissatisfaction. If I could just have this audio program, then my mixes would sound professional like everybody else's.
Yeah. Or
if I just had that, whatever. And it was a never ending cycle of doom. And all that anger and rage sat up on top of a vast sea of darkness and sadness. But the worst part was depression altered everything I saw, heard, and felt, and never in my favor. And for instance, my wife would say in the morning, "Oh, it looks like it's going to be a beautiful day." But what I would hear, in all sincerity, my illness would twist that, nudge it. And what I would hear was, I think it's going to be another beautiful day. Yeah, sure. And I would hear that.
Yeah.
And I love my wife. I'd be like, "Well, that's not good. What's wrong?" And I would ask, "You know, honey, what do you mean? What's wrong?" And she would look at me like, "What do you mean? What's wrong? I just told you it looks like it's going to be a beautiful day." But that was never what I heard. So it became increasingly difficult to communicate with other people because I was unable to accurately perceive and hear and process my environment. And the tension it caused at home was just off the charts, insane. I was very hard to live with. And I tell people all the time, if there's somebody who's earned their place in heaven, it's my wife for sticking with me. Because she had a very, very difficult time being married to a crazy man. But all of that is gone. It just all went away.
What sort of set you on to the carnivore diet? What put you onto it?
The names that you mentioned are the people. I learned about the carnivore diet by seeing a cutout video, about a 30-minute cutout of Jordan Peterson on Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
And how he describes how his daughter, through experimentation, figured out that she kicked her arthritis and depression symptoms to the curb just eating meat, salt, and water. And if it had been anybody else but Jordan Peterson saying this, a man I believe has incredible integrity, I would have probably just laughed at it and moved on. But because it was him, somebody, I've read his book, 12 Rules, he's just, I'm a fan.
I've got it on the shelf, his book. Yeah.
I can't. It's an awesome read. So I had to take this seriously. And so I started investigating a little further. And the next thing I found on YouTube was a video by Dr. Sean Baker on Joe Rogan.
Yeah. That was 2017, that someone wanted.
Yes, it was. He did that in December of 2017. And I saw it in May of 2018. May or June of 2018. And I mean, again, you know, you've got Air Force combat surgeon. They just don't let anybody do that. You've got to be an extraordinarily well put together human being of incredible integrity to even be considered for that. So again, I listened to that the dietary portion of that episode probably 50 times because I'm thinking, this is too good to be true. There's got to be a flaw. I'll find it. I'll hear it in the logic. There's going to be a...
Yeah.
There was none. And so next I saw... My next video I saw while in my search was a talk that Amber O'Hearn gave in 2017 where she described in a way a guitar player like me could understand that millions of years ago, we literally came down out of the trees because we ate meat. And that's how we grew these energy exorbitant brains and how we got our, you know, grew our bone structure to be what it is today. And it enough pieces of the puzzle were there for me to say, I have to do this. I have to.
Yeah.
And, it's, you know, I thank God for it every day. And it's become my vocation to share my experience with people because folks need to know you're not broken. You didn't get a bad roll of the genetic dice. We were taught to eat wrong. We were taught to eat crap.
Mm.
Not taught to eat real food. And it's been a nightmare in the Western civilization because of those errors and what we were taught.
Yeah, that's like one thing I like. I've noticed doing it. It's like sort of reset my taste buds and sort of my brain. And like everything that's processed, as I say, like donut, chocolate, KFC and all that, just tastes crap. It's just got an artificial taste to it. Is where, I mean, I know yourself, you don't have the keto side. You're just pure carnivore, meat and water. But I just had to add something in. I mean, I just had to have something in it. My like sugar cravings have gone. That took about 2 to 3 weeks. Is there any food you did miss or still miss? Or like, do you have coffee, tea, milk or anything? Is it just purely water?
I gave up caffeine in 2017 when it finally dawned on my silly head that somebody who suffers or has anxiety issues probably shouldn't consume caffeine. I don't know why that took so long to work its way into the brain pan, but it's true nonetheless. But I've missed nothing. I mean, I lost my sugar cravings probably 7-8 days into carnivore. And I mean, I don't miss any of it. It's all, to me, it's all garbage. And, you know, walking through a grocery store, I don't know how stores are in the UK, but here in America, you kind of have to walk through the cereal aisle in many places to get to the meat counter.
Right.
And just walking through these, I could smell the oil and I could smell the sugar and it smells like death to me. It is a very unpleasant. Sweet smells are especially noxious to me now.
Mm, yeah.
The oils, that. Like what you described at KFC, we drive past them here and the smell of the oil is just sickening.
Yeah. The batter was very crumbly, powdery, and it hadn't, it was just very artificial. Wasn't anything. I mean, I still ate it because I did it for an experiment because I've like kept a food log from like my 30 days. And like I thought I'd do it all properly, start weight, finish weight and this. And it sort of shocked me, but it's like shocked me in a good way is where I can eat fried bacon in lard and then fried eggs and like fried pork and fried steaks all in butter and lard. And it's just making me feel great. It's not putting my heart rate up. My heart rate, you feel like anything's dropping because I got a Fitbit on and I've been monitoring that. Everything's in like improved. My skin's improved. My thought patterns and improved. And then as soon as I've started experimenting with these different foods, one here, one there, I get my acid back. I start burping. I start crumping a lot more. And it's like, it does do something to you. It's just, there's too much, and there should be, there's too much people saying it's cured this, it's done this, and it's done that. Loads of it, and there's no one taking it seriously. Everyone said, you'll either get weight, you'll get fat, because it's like going to be the protein, blah, blah, this is going to be processed through your liver, it turns to glucose anyway. But no one really, and, you know, we're, like, from fairly intelligent people, I'm sort of, like, getting this from. I don't miss bread anymore. Don't miss potatoes. I just want steak and eggs and like chicken. What sort of your diet consist of? Is it just steak and water, or do you have anything like chicken, pork?
In the beginning, like the first 4 or 5 months, I ate a variety of meats, but I always had bacon with every meal, because when I was researching, I learned how to do this way of eating from a Facebook group, Zeroing In on Health. And it's run by Charles Washington and a lady named Kelly Hogan. Amber O'Hearn's a member there. And these are 10 plus year carnivores.
Wow.
And they're who I learned how to do this from. And one of the biggest complaints and reasons for failure on the carnivore diet is people complain about getting bored just eating meat or just eating a steak. And I could intellectually understand that. So I thought, what have meat? Because I never really like had a favorite meat. I mean, I liked it all. I wasn't one meat that stood out to me above the rest at that point. And I remembered that there's never been a time that I had bacon with any meal that I didn't enjoy it. The whole meal, not just the bacon, but the whole meal.
Yeah.
So I made it a point to always include bacon with whatever it was I was eating. I've eaten bacon with pork shoulder. I've eaten bacon with roast. I've eaten bacon with fish. It's all delicious. But in December of 2018, I discovered 90-10 ground beef. I get it in these big 10-pound rolls here. And very affordable. And it just, I love going to the meat counter now for starters. It's just like, I just enjoy looking at it all. But this one day, I'd never seen these tubes of meat, and it's just like, it just sang to me. It was like the most beautiful thing in the whole counter next to all those tomahawk ribeyes and all that stuff. And I told my wife, I said, I have to try this. And it's still the most satisfying meat I have consumed in all these almost, not tomorrow will be my 19th month into living this way. And it's all I want. And I was taught, one of the rules that I was taught is only eat the meat you crave and can't afford. Yeah. So that's all I do. And since from December of 2018 till today, and until my body says, hey, let's try something different, I've only had lean ground beef and bacon. I only eat when I'm hungry, and I currently get hungry 3 times a day.
Oh, you have 3 meals a day?
All 3 meals a day. I have 10 ounces ground beef with breakfast and lunch, 8 to 10 slices of bacon. And then for dinner, I'll have 93.7. I go even leaner, 93.7 ground beef with 8 to 10 slices of bacon, 14 ounces of that. And it's wonderful. I'm satisfied, completely, utterly satisfied. And when I'm done, I'm always not another bite full, and I don't think about food again until the next time I'm hungry.
I was about to ask you if people don't understand it, because a few people have actually said, I couldn't understand it not being hungry throughout the day. What do you do for snacks? If snack-wise, you can have jerky, boiled eggs, bit of cheese, maybe this and that, depending how hard line you are on them, like the carnivore. But as it neared the end of the carnivore, and like I just skip breakfast, maybe have dinner, then have tea, and then I don't eat for another 20 hours because I might eat at 6 o'clock when I get home from work. Then I won't eat until maybe 12, 1 o'clock. So like I do that 16 to 20 hour intermittent fasting. As I'm like, well, but people say, well, if you get hungry, what can you eat? And I'm like, well, you don't really get hungry, but maybe go to a shop, get some bacon, lob it, and just eat it. That's one thing I did find, though, is that I got a bit bored quickly because I used to have brown sauce. So that's why I thought I need a sauce with like my eggs. How can I replace it? And I just found eggs or cooking it in butter. And like maybe putting salt and pepper in the butter and smothering it, cracking open the steak, then putting a bit of butter in, sealing it so it all melts. And that did it. Steak is the one that's very juicy because I have it nearly blue now. I like nearly have it rare. And it's so nice with just an egg cooked in butter. So nice.
Awesome. Enjoy the meat you crave and can afford, my friend. That's the key. And, you know, because if we listen to our bodies will let us know what we need. Our bodies will direct us to the meat that it wants.
It's all about listening to the body.
Yeah, and you have to trust your body. Stop and think about it for a minute. 100,000 years ago, nobody was waking up going, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. The most important meal of the day was when you were hungry.
It was, yeah.
And it's the way it should be now. And that's how I live is, you know, my most important meal of the day is the next time I'm hungry.
Do you think it's, and it's no way disrespectful to people on carnivore diet, but one thing I did notice is because I'm like, I do like different foods and, you know, I like I'm a bit of a foodie. Do you think on the carnivore diet, it's more necessity and fuel than enjoyment?
No, because every bite of every meal that I have is insanely delicious. It is like nectar from heaven. And every day it's a little better than the day before. And it didn't matter if I was eating a variety of meats or just the bacon and ground beef that I eat now. I mean, it is delicious beyond words.
So how do you cook your ground like beef then? What do you cook it in?
I cook it in a pan on the stove with salt and butter. That's all I use.
You don't use any peppers or anything like that, like pepper?
No. I didn't use that stuff before. I don't even like the smell of pepper.
Sorry, go on.
That's how we fix it. And then the bacon's always made in air fryer.
All right. No, I've always fried my bacon. What salt do you use? Because the more I get into the carnivore, the more I'm reading different people are using different salts. And I'm like, bloody hell. Because I just use normal sea salt that's cracked like that. So I don't use the real salt or Himalayan.
I've tried them all. I've tried the real salt. I've tried the Himalayan. And I've tried the sea salt. And I prefer the sea salt, the Celtic salt.
Yeah.
Sea salt, it's got kind of a buttery taste for me. And I feel amazing. Matter of fact, that if you were talking about snacks, I haven't snacked since before carnivore because I'm not hungry.
All right.
I'm just not hungry. Now, what I will do is I'll stick my finger. I've got a salt shaker that's not for food that sits on a stand, and I'll stick my finger in that and put some of that sea salt in my mouth and crunch on it for a minute, just once in a while. But that's as close to a snack as I've come in almost 19 months.
So when you and your wife sit down, does your wife follow the carnivore diet?
She's a month behind me. She had arthritis in her shoulders and in her hands. Her shoulders are completely healed and her hands are about 98% healed. It changed and improved her. I mean, she's undergone a major physical transformation. It's improved certain aspects of her behavior. She used to be an absolute unholy rage witch when she first woke up in the morning until she had at least 2 cups of coffee.
Right.
When she would get up in the morning, I would come to my studio room and wait until she had her coffee because she was just unapproachable. But then about 6 weeks into carnivore, I'm sitting in the living room one day and she comes walking through and just starts talking to me in the most pleasant tone of voice. And I'm like having a religious experience. She hasn't had coffee yet. What is going on here? And what it's done for our marriage is just almost impossible to describe. I mean, it's improved us as individuals, but in our marriage, it has just made everything thousands and thousands of times better. You'll hear people talk about, you know, oh, we're on the same page. We're really close. We're like in the same sentence. our communication level is just, we don't waste time arguing about useless nonsense. And at the risk of sounding like a dirty old man, what it's done for our intimacy is just, guys, if you're tired of not having intimacy with your spouse, you both need to go on carnivore, because once you become hormonally balanced, my wife's 61, I turn 59 in a couple of weeks, but on the inside, we feel like 20-year-olds.
That's brilliant, isn't it?
It's glorious, because it just goes to show we aren't made to fall apart automatically just because we age. And you don't have to be a gym rat. You don't have to be a marathon runner to be in good physical condition. You just have to eat human absorbable nutrition instead of eating toxins.
Yeah.
You eliminate the toxins from what you consume, your body will heal you from damn near anything, and it will improve your quality of life beyond your ability to articulate. It's just insanely awesome, and every day is better than the day before.
So does she eat the same diet as like you, then bacon and ground beef, or does she eat different meats?
She eats a lot of different meats. She will eat hamburger and bacon, but she prefers what she prefers on a given day. It's always different for her. Some days she might want fish. Some days she might want pork chops. She will eat chicken wings once in a while. You know, to me, chicken's just a weak bird. I have no interest in chicken whatsoever. Chicken's family food. If all the ruminant animals are gone, then I'll eat chicken. And which is really odd, because I used to love fried chicken. But now it's just not satisfying at all to me. But she eats very differently, and as it should be. It's always specific to the individual. Carnivore diet is not a one-size-fits-all. The directions are basic and simple, and people do better when they keep it simple. But there's room, for what you want to eat. Eat the meat you crave and can't afford. And I'll give just the basic rules for how I was taught. It's just so simple. Only eat when you're hungry.
Yeah.
When you're hungry, only eat meat until you're not another bite full. Only eat the meat you crave and can't afford. And last, don't put sweet taste in your mouth.
Yeah, definitely.
And so just those four little steps, that's all I do. I follow that to the letter. And it's easy. People are like, this diet is so restrictive. And I just laugh and I say, you want to know what's restrictive? Depression is restrictive.
Yeah.
Anxiety is restrictive. Being obese is restrictive. I've eliminated all those. I'm liberated. I'm freer than I've ever been in my life, because I miss nothing. I miss that stuff as much as you miss not drinking bleach.
Have you what's the doctor say to your awesome progression through cutting out meds and losing all your weight and feeling? Have you done any blood tests or anything like that, or any?
I haven't seen a doctor since 2017, when the last medical doctor I saw wanted to put I had an anxiety, but the white coat blood pressure is something they would call it over here. It was like 135 over 85. And then if they'd waited 20 minutes and taken it again, it would have been normal. I've had anxiety issues all my adult life. But this guy was like, no, you need to go on a statin. And I'm like, I refuse to do it. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll attack it with diet and exercise. And the guy looked me in the eye and said, 90% of people with your numbers can't change it with diet and exercise. And I thought, well, you let me show you. And via low, that's when I really got dedicated myself to the low carb thing and increased my exercise and became much more adherent to the diet. But I haven't had a reason to see a doctor. I felt amazing.
I would have gone back to him and like said, hey, mate, look.
Well, here that would have cost me money that I didn't want to waste.
Oh, yeah, true. Sorry.
Just to deflate his ego, which let me tell you, Rick, I have thought about it. I have thought about it because it would be fun to video his expression when he is confronted with the reality of the nonsense he tried to feed me. I have had blood work, and right. A physician, I've got a standing little thing I've been doing online because I sincerely, these numbers in this lab report mean nothing to me. My health is not determined by the numbers on a piece of paper from lab work. How I feel is how I determine my state of health. Because if there's a problem with me physically, I'm going to feel it. It's how we're designed. You get all the toxins out of the way and all the noise out of your head and the brain fog goes away. You're aware of how you feel. And unless you're lying to yourself foolishly, when something starts to bother you, you're going to investigate and try to get it corrected. But I will share with you, this thing I've been doing, I've been telling people for the last 18 months, if you're curious enough and want to pay for it, I'll go get any blood test you want and we'll post the results on my social media. And a gentleman, a doctor out of the state of Kansas, saw me on Twitter and he got curious and he ponied up the cash for me to get some blood work done. And he was more curious about my vitamin D levels. So I made sure I got vitamin D and there was enough money to get my lipid panel and my A1C. Well, my vitamin D, I live in Northeast Florida. It was never really an issue. And I walk around without a shirt on 8 months out of the year because it's always, sunny and it's a sunshine state for a reason.
Not like the UK.
No, not definitely not like the UK in that regard. But my, The normal range is 30 to 100, and my vitamin D is 54.4. And this blood was drawn on the 498th day of me eating meat and drinking water in November of 2019. My A1C is 5.4, which is within the normal range. My cholesterol, and this is the one I love, because like you said earlier, the nonsense that we get from the anti-meat people, the vegans and whatnot is, I hope you like having your arteries all clogged and not being able to breathe and stuff. My total cholesterol is 174. My triglycerides are 63. My HDL was 69. My LDL was 92. And the number that counts in all of this, my cholesterol HDL ratio was 2.5.
Wow.
I have the lipids of a 25-year-old at the age of 58, almost 59, just eating meat, drinking water. So for you folks who think I'm clogging my arteries, wrong.
Yeah, I mean, like, quite a lot of people don't understand the, like, number one cause of death for vegans and vegetarians is heart disease.
Exactly right.
And a lot of these studies in people, meat eaters, it's people who go to, say, McDonald's, Burger King, or like any other restaurant, but it's the crap they're having with it. Milkshakes, fries, the like cheesy, bloody coated sides or like anything like that. It's not taking into account just a pure meat diet, which obviously has got benefits because there's too many people. From like people like yourself to Sean Baker. I mean, even Joe Rogan did it for 30 days.
He's and still like, doing it. Joe Rogan's still doing it. Yes. He's announced that his diet is primarily carnivore, but that he will have cheat days. But he reported after his 30 days, he took his kids to Disneyland. and ate a bunch of ice cream and crap and whatnot, and he felt awful. He
started, I did hear that on
joint
his,
pain.
Yeah.
All, you know, he started suffering, and that's common. We see that time and time because when you stop consuming the toxins, your body loses its tolerance for them. Then when you reintroduce them, you get hit with the full force of the toxicity.
It's like you reset your taste buds and your body to how it should be. And then what people don't understand, and I've been telling people to say, I've only done it for 30 days and I'm sticking to heavily fat meat and maybe having a few greens as I said, but if you introduce new foods, the taste bland, different, and you can taste again the artificialness and the crap that goes in them. Processed food is not good. It's just not good. And like, you know, there's a massive push on it from like the media and like other people, but eating meat is where it's at, a lot of meat.
I agree completely. And I will eat this way until I'm no longer on this side of the grass. Because there's no flavor on planet Earth worth me risking my sanity for.
No.
Because that's what's at stake. And I've learned I can lose it. We 6 weeks in, 7 weeks into to the carnivore, my wife and I were at the store, and when I was taking the meds and I was crazy, man, I had dry mouth all the time. Plus I was a sugar addict like everybody else. And I ate these Altoid mints. I became an Altoid addict. But I generally loved the taste of spearmint. That was always my favorite. And I found these mints at the store, little tin, and it said zero sugar, zero carbs. Interesting. And I didn't know anything about xylitol at the time because I was not a nutrition person. I was not a foodie. I've been a professional musician. I was not involved with all that, to know what all the artificial flavorings were, et cetera. So my wife and I were like, well, this looks safe. I'll get it and try it. And I took one of these little, they were like a third of the size of an American dime, just little tiny things. And from the park, from the cash register to the car in the parking lot, my behavior deteriorated. Before we got 5 minutes away from the store, my wife looks at me. She says, you're not being very nice to me all of a sudden. And we both realized something was up. And it took me like 2 or 3 days. What happened was, if I consume sugar at all, anything sweet at all, and that xylitol is a sweetener that is processed with a sugary alcohol.
All right.
So
sort of fix the object.
Exactly. But I didn't know what I didn't know. And that was the last time I've put a sweet taste into my mouth because my original diagnosis in 1990 was major depression. Well, years 2006, 2007, I had a textbook nervous breakdown and didn't sleep but a couple of hours a night for a couple of months. And I started hearing kids playing in the yard when there was nobody at home but me.
Wow.
So they changed my diagnosis to major depression with psychotic features. And so just the taste of sweetness brings the psychotic features back for me. And I've also learned that meat is not just my food, it's my medicine. If I am late taking my medicine, if I don't eat when I'm hungry, those symptoms can come back. My ability to perceive the environment accurately starts to diminish.
How long did it take you to recover from just that one mint? That sort of set you back a bit. Did it take you a few hours, or was it?
That took most of the weekend to get on top of.
That's just one little mint.
Just one little mint. And
so
it's just never worth the risk to me now.
So if like, we're going on that basis. I mean, how long was you into the carnivore diet before you took that mint?
6 to 7 weeks.
So, like, if, like, that's one mint for, like, you, and, like, put it onto people who are having milkshakes, donuts, yum yums, everything else.
I would be psychotic in less than an, I mean, fully psychotic in less than an hour if I ate a cupcake.
I mean, I started to know the difference, and my weight was dropping after 3 or 4 days of just doing this carnivore diet. Mm-hmm. So, it took that, but that's really quite a scary thought to think when you're having that 1 minute, it can change you in just a snap of a finger, and how much, and that's just 1 minute, and that's with no sugar, sugar free. So, like these people who are having like Lucozade, cans of Coke, these Monster energy drinks that you see everyone having these drinks, and it's like you don't know what you're doing to yourself.
Well, we know for certain, Rick, that the consumption of sugar, every grain of sugar that we consume, damages all the mitochondria in our entire bodies slightly.
Yeah.
So you know, it's a slight damage. It's not like it's completely ruined and rendered ineffective. But then when you start looking at the tonnage of sugar that human beings consume in Western society on a daily basis, it's no wonder that the obesity epidemic is what it is. It's no wonder that type 2 diabetes is rampant throughout Western society. And then we see, you know, Alzheimer's, dementia, which is basically just type 3 diabetes because the brain's so insulin resistant, it can no longer process glucose for energy. So it starves to death, all from sugar consumption and carb consumption.
I do think sugar's very dangerous and very, very addictive.
Oh, it's the most addictive substance on planet Earth, in my opinion.
I mean, luckily, I haven't been drawn back to sugar because I got some candy cane sugar things. It's like sort of sherbet in like the middle. And I used to eat these like sort of no one's business. It's like just because they were so like Moorish. So I'm like, I got a few purely experiment because I just wanted to see. And it's like, I mean, I got 5. I like ate them and I was like, it's just crap. And I don't want to go back to them. I don't feel the need to go back. What I do feel need is to have more meat and more animal products. I mean, I'm going to cut down on like my milk and cheese, but I don't think I'll ever get rid of my milk because I do like the milk. And that's my little cheat thing for having a bit of sweetness back.
I'd like to challenge you, Rick, to do 60 days of just meat and water. And 60. See how you feel. Just see how you, 60, that's 2 months. What's 2 months? You already did a month. What's doing 2 more months? And taking it down to just what you, if 50,000 years ago, those would be your choices.
Well, yeah, because you wouldn't have the coffee or the processing.
And so you've never truly eliminated all the toxins from your way of eating. So you've not experienced the full blessing, all the benefits that come when you eliminate them all of them.
Yeah. I don't know. Water. I could do it. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, you already know from your first 30 days, it's not going to hurt you.
Oh, no, no.
And go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go on. Sorry. I was just saying it was just going to improve me more.
Yeah. And it's like I work for Dr. Sean Baker's MeatRx platform. I'm one of his carnivore coaches there. And I tell clients all the time, if you want 100% of the benefits, which I believe if you're going to do this, you want 100% of the benefits. Why else go through it? Because, you know, it can be an issue if your spouse or your family is not interested in joining you for the journey. It can cause, you know, it can be uncomfortable for people in social situations. So if you're going to do this, you want to be successful at it. You want all the benefits. And in my opinion, and based on what I see, 100% gets you the 100% of the benefits. And it's just nobody comes to it and says, I feel too good now. I need to go back to eating something. People are just like,
yeah,
this is so wonderful. I never knew it was possible.
No, yeah,
you deserve it. You deserve to feel that good too, Rick.
Yeah, I've got no desire to have a donut or yum yum and or Lucozade or like anything like that. Sort of, to be fair, no. So, Well, our time's nearly up, but thanks for coming on. Yeah, you, and like, you know, the like sort of timings and that, it's been brilliant. If people wanted to find out more, you mentioned Sean Baker's website. What is his website?
MeetRx.com.
Right, I'll put that in the description.
And there's an enormous amount of free information on the website, testimonials, research papers. You could join for free for the first month. And then after that, I think it's like $8 or $9 a month. We have meetings every day at 12 noon Eastern with Dr. Sean Baker that are open to all members. And he answers questions, offers suggestions to folks. It's a very supportive community. Check it out. It won't cost you anything to do so. And the meetings are free.
Wicked. And if people wanted to find out more about your journey on your Instagram, again, I'll put this in the description, but what's your Instagram?
Thankful.carnivore. And I also have a YouTube channel, Thankful Carnivore.
Oh, really?
I upload content to that. Yeah, I do a Periscope 4 days a week, and I upload that to my Instagram TV and to the YouTube channel. And I'm so amazed and impressed by how many people are searching for hope. And I remember what it was like to be hopeless, completely without hope.
Right.
And that's why I do this, is to let folks know, you know, there is hope. There is an answer. You don't have to suffer anymore. You can change it all and heal yourself just by eliminating the toxins from your diet and eating what you were designed to eat.
I mean, I purposely, going back on feeling good, but I purposely didn't do any exercise with these 30 days to see what it would be like just a standard test. And I dropped it like is a stone, really, which is 14 mm-hmm. pounds, give or take. I mean, some of the times I'm down 3 from that, and sometimes I might be up or 2 up, but it's steady around and a stone. So I'm thinking if I exercised with that, or people would exercise with the carnivore diet, you would just see better results.
Well, you know, I think that's a sort of specific to the individual thing, but we know like Kelly Hogan that I mentioned earlier, she's been doing this for 10 years. She does not exercise. But she looks like she's flawless. She's flawless. There's a lady, there's a married couple, Joe and Charlene Anderson. They've been doing it for over 20 years. He's 61 and looks like he's 30. And she's 46 and looks like she's 25. I mean, like something out of a magazine.
So it's also true. It don't make your skin greasy, your hair greasy.
No. Matter of fact, a lot of women report, and I've seen this in my wife's hair too. Her hair, it doesn't get dirty like it used to. It doesn't collect stuff in the air like it used to, for lack of a better phrase. And she doesn't have to wash it as often as a result.
That's cool. What about the breath aspect? Because like once you go into keto, your breath starts to like get a bit more...
Well, it can in the beginning. It can in the beginning if you develop the keto flu, and which is common for a lot of folks. I didn't experience that. My early adaptation was rather easy because I was very low carb for a long time before I started carnivore. And that's why I always recommend to people, if they're coming from the SAD diet, take a month to eliminate your carbs and plant intake by 25% each week. It'll give you a better chance for success, and it'll make your adaptation phase a little less uncomfortable. Because when you first get hit with those cravings and your body's converting from being a sugar burner into a fat burner, it's, you know, there's a little challenge there. I had a little gassiness and a couple. As a matter of fact, that was the last time I had a headache. Was the last week. I haven't had a headache since the last week of July 2018. Not one headache. None. Headaches are not normal. We're not supposed to have them. Headaches are a sign that something's wrong.
Yeah.
And if you're not consuming toxins, it's the sure cure. I'm telling you.
I mean, like, people have said it's placebo, it's this and that. They're like, they're doing other things to compensate, but it seems to be pointing all to the diet.
It's because, all like, diet.
We're using fuel to run the machine. That's us. So if we're putting in the good fuel, we're going to be optimized to be the best. If we're putting in crap and shit, we're going to degrade and not be what we can be and supposed to be.
That's exactly right. And we've been fed so much misinformation and, you know, all kinds of things designed to create fear, uncertainty, and doubt. You know, well, what about you? And I get asked questions, and I hear the worry and concern in people's words. What about your kidneys, Brett? Aren't you worried about too much protein in your kidneys? And you know, what about your blood sugar? Aren't you worried about gluconeogenesis and all this nonsense? And it's designed to frighten us away from meat. And I just laugh at it all now because it's all bogus. Gluconeogenesis is not a constant 24-hour-a-day thing. It's demand-driven. So you literally, it's impossible to eat too much protein to make yourself into a diabetic unless you just gorge and eat way past satiety like an insane person. I have no need to do that.
Yeah.
There's nothing to worry about. Oh, but what about all the nitrites and the sugar in that bacon you're eating? Well, the sugar used in the curing process is used up in the curing process.
Yeah.
And there's no more. There's 100 times more nitrates in one tomato than there is in a whole package of bacon. Yeah. I don't worry about it. I trust my body.
That's it. Do think people should be. Try it at least for 30 days because lost that weight. People, you know, like sort of over here with something called Weight Watchers, and people pay to go to that weekly and you get a certificate.
Starvation.
Yeah. Do it and just eat meat. Like, get up in the morning, put some lard or pig fat in like the frying pan, get some eggs, bacon, fry it up, eat it. Go on your way, drink your water. You'll like be flushing your system out. You'll see skin improvements, hair improvements, mood improvements, sleep improvements, and your circadian body, your body clock, will improve. It's just win-win.
Oh, I have no complaints about living this way. And I'm at the point now with even in social settings, it's not a problem because it just takes proper planning and some common sense. And I'm not, if I get invited to a gathering or whatnot and there's not going to be any food there for me, I'll bring my own.
What about restaurants? If you go to a restaurant, because the first week that I went out for something to eat and the restaurant we went to didn't do steak, didn't do anything, wouldn't really accommodate me. They did a carvery, which is roast. And I said, well, I'll buy a big carvery. Can I have extra meat? Well, no, not really. You're only allowed about 3 slices of meat. I'm like, but I'll pay extra. No, we can't do that. So I just went to a steakhouse and got a steak.
There you go. I tell people when we first, of course, we research places, restaurants before we visit them. And I just tell the wait staff every time, your tip is going to be determined on how well you follow my directions. I don't want any bread brought to my table. I don't want any sides brought to my table. And if you bring me anything but meat to eat on my table, you're going to see the difference in your tip. And people take me seriously. I'm polite. I'm nice about it. I want to be able to give them a good tip.
Yeah.
But if they're not going to provide me the service that I expect and require, well, they're going to lose out. And I'll let them know.
Do they look at you a bit strange and go, is it just meat you want? Just meat and water. Do you ever get that from them? Or?
I haven't gotten a strange look yet. They seem to accept it now. I think there's enough keto people going through restaurants now, and so it doesn't strike them as oddly as it might have, say, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But we don't go out and eat that much because for what it costs to go out and eat a meal for the two of us and to get full and satiated. Well, geez, we could spend that at the grocery store and eat for 5 days.
Yeah.
So we just don't go out and eat that much unless somebody else is paying for it.
No, I went to one of them Brazilian meat places where they just bring.
We did that for Thanksgiving in 2018, and it was glorious. And we enjoyed it, and we did it the one time, and we'll not do it again because it's so expensive. For $100 for the two of us, that's a week's worth of meat.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks again for like coming on. And we'll put all the descriptions. No, we won't. We'll put all like the links in the description, and it'll be online for everyone to see. And I just hope more people pay attention, not take the mick as much, and try it. Don't like go with the norm. Try it for yourself, and then you can see the difference.
Absolutely. And I want to encourage all of your listeners to always remember this. No matter how bad things get in your life, never give up, never surrender, and always remember you've got something to be thankful for.
That's it. Well, thanks again, and we'll put everything in the description, and then we'll just put it online for you.
Thanks so much, Rick. It's been a pleasure talking with you. Have a great day.
You too, Brett. Take care, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. The Tea Biscuits Podcast.